So let's pray.
Father, we do thank you, Lord, that we do not serve a God who's distant, but you're an ever-present help in time of need. And you promise that you'll never leave us nor forsake us, and that you will be with us to the end of the ages. Lord, we know you're here. Help us to have ears to hear from you what you have for us today, a revelation of yourself. And Lord, not just to know about you, but to know you is our desire. So we ask that you would increase our faith, to give us a greater revelation of who you are and a deeper love of all that means. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I hit record this week. Have guys ever looked at all Paul's letters and just read the greetings? If you ever want to have a little fun study, just do that. Wrote the seven churches, nine letters, and then you have the individual letters. So, as you get in and start entering into Timothy, many people will call these pastoral epistles, meaning these are letters from the Apostle Paul to younger believers to how to run a church or how to run their lives or, the Christian life. I can't say that's not true. But what I do see here is a letter from someone who's run with Paul and Timothy ran together. Timothy, when you read the introductions, is in most of the places that Paul went to. And there's a certain point in time that Paul left Timothy. And I don't want to go into all the details because I didn't study all that part of it. I just wanted to share what I felt like the Lord showing. But when we look at the greetings, I think many times when we read this, and even when we're interacting with one another, I think a lot of times we just really need to consider our words in a sense, and you'll get what I mean. But verse 1 to 2, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about verse 1 first. But Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. To Timothy, a son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I know when we were in Thessalonians and things like that, I tell you a lot of times when I'm reading this and I just stop and meditate on it, I have a hard time moving past it. This is a general greeting. Grace and peace to you. And I understand it. But if we see this letter and all these letters from Paul, right? And so remember in Thessalonians, and you don't have to flip there, but Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 1, chapter 2, verse 11, he says, as you know how I exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. So, instead of trying to come at this as a set up and how to set up and structure things, I'm looking at this, and as if we go through any of these letters from Paul, as someone ready to hand a baton off. Someone willing, ready to say, this person, I'm going to hand everything that the Lord's given me off to them. Paul's about to die. And so if you start thinking about ministering and sharing and just walking with the Lord, we're told that our life is a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. And we're not guaranteed. We're guaranteed this moment right now. And if you have anything you have to share and impart to someone, to pass the baton on so that Jesus could be known, what things would you say to them? And I think that that's really Paul's heart behind all his letters. He wants us to understand and know the Lord, but he's also trying to hand off and saying, take it and run with it. Even though he told him to stay. Because sometimes you have to stay to run with what you're called to do. But as we look into this, Paul says he's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God. And the first reading of this, whenever most of the times we as believers, when we see commandment, we're like, uh-oh. It's just like, Paul has to do this. Does he? Did Paul have to do these things? Did he have a choice? Yes. Right? So when we look at a commandment, it's not so much, well, what is the commandment that you think, well, that Paul is talking about? And if you look at 2 Corinthians 5, if you want to turn there, you can. If not, it's one verse. Verse 14. For the love of Christ compels me. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Paul came to a place, notice it's not a love for Christ that moved him. It's the love of Christ that moved him. His response is out of love, but he understands. What is the love of Christ? Can anybody tell me? When you think about, when you read that. The love of Christ that would compel you to. What's the love that's compelling you to walk the walk you have today?
Dwelling of the Spirit.
I'm sorry?
Indwelling of the Spirit.
Indwelling of the Spirit. Okay. What was the love of Christ? Or what is the love of Christ?
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice. That he looked at you and said, it doesn't matter what I have to go through, I'm going to do it so that you can be with me for all eternity. Right? For God so loved the world that he gave. The love of Christ is to walk in the Father's will. He loved to do, delighted to do the Father's will. Right? And so his love is being moved into Paul's life because he sees what pushed Jesus. The love that motivated him. And Paul, the commandment that takes place is when you receive that and realize it's a love, because we know that in 1 John, John tells us that the greatest commandment is love. So what's motivating the commandment is love. And Paul's entering in and seeing that it's God's love for him that's moving him. What does it do? It brings about an apostleship, which in many cases we're worried about trying to be an apostle. But the reality is every one of you are. As soon as you walk out the doors, you're sent. What does that mean? Whatever the Lord shows you as you go. It's going to be different. We're not all hands. We're not all feet. We all have different parts of the body. And so when he tells us and sends us and equips us, I mean, we come together as a body to hear from the Lord. And I believe we do. And so when you hear, you have been given a message. You've got to receive it and you get to walk it out and live it and share it. However that works out. It might be screaming it from your top of your lungs as soon as you walk out the door. Or you might be grumbling and complaining because the Lord convicts you. You don't know. The same message is going to hit us all different places. It's the same Spirit. But we need to understand and just rest in the fact that everything has taken place from the heart of from love. It started with the love of a father and son and an agreement to come down to present that love to humanity. And so, it's nice here to get that. Even though you see the word commandment, we need to understand that that commandment is love. And it's the love of God and our Savior. And as we go through and consider that as we walk in and we're receiving and we're walking in the things the Lord's showing us and understanding that it's His love that's motivated, that's what gives us our hope. Right in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ our hope. Right? That's everything is placed, everything that we have for all eternity and salvation right now in all of our lives is all being placed on Jesus Christ. Right? Me here in well done, good and faithful servant is not based on my service. It's on the service he did and when he came and died. Right? It's my hope is in him. And thank God, it's not in the ocean an anchor. Our anchor is in heaven, right? Which pulls us into the heavens and opens up the heavens for us that we can know God. So Jesus is our hope. And through placing our faith in him and seeing the love he has for me, as things work through my life, hopefully, that should be coming forth. Will be coming forth. So as he's getting ready, one of the greatest things I think as believers that Paul says in chapter verse 2 is it doesn't say to Timothy, if you do everything in a good, then you'll be a good, true, faithful son. He straight off tells him, Timothy, a true son of faith, in the faith. I don't know about any of you, but to find when somebody just says, can look at your life and say, I know you're a believer, it's very encouraging. I didn't have to say it, but someone else did. But he says he's a true son. So he's not writing him saying, all the things I'm getting ready to tell you is so that you can become a son. I'm writing these things to you because you are one. And I think that that's important because we as believers, many times, we look around and we're trying to wonder who's saved, who's not, instead of just trusting the Lord. I can look out and say, true children of God, sons and daughters of God, by walking and learning and knowing your relationships, by talking and getting to know one another. I guarantee you, if I examined every one of your lives, not mine, I'll find something wrong. I don't need to say, you'll find the same thing with me. But it's getting back when we were in Thessalonians talking about, I trust the Lord with your soul. I have to trust him with mine and then come into a place that your life, you and I might not agree on everything. We trust Jesus. And I'm going to trust him that you're a child. Right? And so when you can trust and look at people as a child, I don't need to keep trying to make them one. You just teach them how to be a better one. You know what I'm saying? It's like not trying to get you converted, but taking what the Lord's already done and developing. And that's really what Paul's doing. He's not trying to get them to question, you've run with me. You know, you've been to Corinth. You've been to... I left you in Ephesus. Do you think Paul would have left someone he didn't really trust behind to set in order things? He sent him to Timothy when we read Thessalonians between 1st and 2nd to find out what state they were in. So he was a trusted fellow believer, but he looked at him as a son. And I think that that's... good because he's learned of the Father's care so that he can become a father to other believers and encouragers. Any thoughts or questions before we go on? Okay, good. So what does he, after he calls him a true son, what does he say? Grace, mercy, and peace. From God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. And most of Paul's letters say grace and peace. And we always say, oh, that was a general greeting. Like we say, hey, how you doing? Hello. You know, grace, peace. But with that being, that is true. But there's something here that is overlooked. And as we enter into this letter, this letter starts with, what is most important is, I want to give you grace. I want you to receive mercy and have peace by the time you're done reading. The things I'm getting ready to write you are tempered with grace, because we don't deserve any revelation from the Lord. Right? So we're getting something we don't deserve. That's grace. And mercy is not getting what we do deserve, which we all know what that is. And through all this, when I understand I'm getting what I don't deserve, which is heaven and a relationship with the eternal God, and I'm not getting hell eternally separated from the one who loves me, the next stage in that part is coming to a place where I have peace with God. And I can be at peace while I'm here, knowing that I'm a child of God. So I need to receive these things. They're not just blanket statements to overlook. It's something, it's God's word we need to receive. I'm pouring out my grace upon you daily. I want you to receive my mercy moment by moment. And through all that, I wanted to bring you peace throughout your life. So how do I do it? So what does Paul think he needs to do? He says, well, I urge you when I went into Macedonia to remain in Ephesus that you charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables, endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now this is the purpose of the command. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. The opposite is the rest of it. We can look at that another time. Timothy, everyone, he says, teach no other doctrine. What is that? What is doctrine? What is, you can answer, please. I know you do. What's doctrine?
Something you live by.
Something you live by? It's what you believe. Your doctrine is what you believe. It might be right, it might be wrong, but it's what you believe, right? But there is a doctrine to teach. And what is that? That we have a Savior, the Lord Jesus, who's our hope. And that's the doctrine, that you can place your hope in Christ. Right? Now, no other doctrine. So I will say this. There are times, and it's hard to distinguish as you're sharing, what are the core things to share? And what are the things that you can learn for yourself? Because sometimes the things that you share are made up of things that I can't share. Meaning I can't share the whole thing that brought me to this conclusion to bring you to this one. And so sometimes it gets difficult what to share, what not to share. But the most important thing is what I see here is Paul saying, teach the things you know. Don't bring up things that cause disputes. But the things that bring edification, which is building up, strengthening, and equipping. But here's what I think ultimately the doctrine is that we should all teach and remember, and that is, verse 5, the purpose of the commandment is love. From a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. What Paul is saying to both to Timothy, if you can teach anything to anybody, it's not about any other doctrine. Is my walk with the Lord based on love? A response to His love for me out of a pure heart. He had to check the pureness of it. Right? But as much as I understand, it's sincere. I mean, it's pure, meaning undefiled. Like, I love them. It's not lust. It's not these other things. It's pure. With a good conscience. Can anybody tell me what a good conscience is? I haven't had one for a while. What would you say is a good conscience? Okay. See, like, I can guarantee you, like, a lot of times, like, when I ask you these questions, like, I know what that means, but I really don't know how to say it sometimes. Or I'm afraid to say it, I might be wrong, but you're in good company. We're mostly wrong, so it's okay. That's why we help one another. But a good conscience is there's no ulterior motive. And then when, like, if you're in your head, you're like, I'm not doing this for something. It's just, I'm doing it. It's a good conscience. Paul said that when we do something, we have to do everything in a way that I consider what's the best for all in the circumstance, not just me. Right? And so, it's out of a love for God. It's, as far as you know, your conscience is clean. And from sincere faith, you're truly doing it because that's what you believe you should be doing. Okay? This is the doctrine for children of God to understand. Anywhere in here does it say, don't do anything wrong. Because the simple truth is, you can have a love for God out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith, and be wrong. But it's still proof that there's a love for God. Right? Like, I can be wrong in all my... Like, I can be doing things out of love for somebody, thinking I'm doing it with a clean, you know, and a pure heart, and have no thought of intention. Like, I could share the same thing today with the same heart behind it, and somebody can take offense at it because they might not hear it, or maybe I said it wrong. But everything on my end, I'm not saying this. I'm just saying could follow these lines, but you still can be wrong. And so it's important to understand that, because in all of our where we are in our walks, in our own theology, in our own doctrine, we all are off a little bit. Right? We all might not be 100% correct in everything we believe. But I still can walk out of sincere love, out of a pure heart and a clean conscience. See, there is a difference. And then with that, have the opportunity to say, I'm walking in these things, but I'm also open to be shown wrong and to take all those things and direct them into the right way, if that makes sense. Any thoughts about that? I believe this is the commandment. This is what Paul said, teach nothing else. Because for us as believers to understand, one of the things here to do this, I also have to step back and trust that that's what everybody's doing. Like, so I don't have to judge your actions if I can trust that there's love. And then if there's differences, we would be able to communicate and come to a conclusion or not. But to walk in that love and to come to a place that God's working that in everybody, and we're all not 100% there yet. I know it's hard to believe. When you look in the mirror, you're like, I almost got it. If I could just change this 550 more things that I see so far. But even with knowing that there's things in my life that are wrong, I can still live saying, Lord, thank you for dying for me and giving me life. And as much as I understand, I want to do the things that please you. Remember it says David was a man after God's own heart? He did a few things a little off. right? And that's really what the Lord wants us to understand, is if your heart's sincere and you're going after me because of the love I have for you, and you're not trying to hurt people, you're just walking this life that we have with Jesus out the best you can, you're a true son. You're a true daughter. And you're going to be receiving grace and mercy to receive peace as you walk it out. Doesn't mean you won't get corrected. Don't mean you won't do things wrong. It just means that that's all He wants from you. To see the love He's given for you and respond. All the Lord's looking for out of all of us is a life of response, of thanksgiving and thanks. And that's what will give us peace. Any thoughts? Nope. Okay. Now you have the chance to talk, or you're going to have to listen to me. So we'll go a little further. Because notice what happens sometimes. It says in verse 6, from which some having strayed have turned aside to idle talk. Desiring to be teachers of what? The law. Understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. It's kind of interesting if you start pointing to the law, what the word teaches you, tells you. If you want to go to the law, you better follow it all. Right? All. It's easy to trust. It's simpler to trust. But why do we go to a law? You see, when you enter into, and it's saying, having turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers. You see, they had a desire to be more than what they were called to. I shouldn't even say that. What they felt called to do was to teach something that they weren't supposed to. Like going back to the law. You're free. Jesus fulfilled the law. We couldn't. We won't be able to. And so He fulfilled it for us. Right? And there is, the law's been removed, right? There's only one thing there. What have you done with my son? Right? Yes? It's not, okay, I need you to make sure you don't eat no pork this week. Oh, it's getting summertime. Crabs are unclean. Shrimp. You know, all the good stuff. But it's not that. Do this, don't do that. See, if I'm living under law, do this and don't that, I'm looking and trying to make myself and bring myself to where God is happy. That I'm appeasing God by following these rules. Rather than saying, you know what, I'm already making Him happy because I said thank you. And I'm going to trust He'll correct me in the midst of me walking when I'm not trying to be belligerent and all these other things. Most of the time, that the Lord's working in that. And if you want to be effective ministering to people around you, like Timothy, right, you have to be settled in the fact that you're a child that's accepted and loved, forgiven, clean, purchased, adopted. You see, all understanding all this adds to the childship, right? The son, the true son, the true daughter. Understanding these things. These are to be settled at. I'm not trying to follow a law to become a child. When I was a child, I tried to break all the laws. Right? Mom? But as you grow older, anyway, I'll get out of that. But the purpose of, so this convicted me because there's a lot of things, and Sunday mornings are tough because we're going through Genesis, and there's many different, like, there's theologies all over. And Chris hasn't even touched half of them. Some of them are even weirder, right? And so it's like, but something has to form your belief in the Lord. And so some things that help one person, we read commentaries, we like listening to Joe, some like listening to Ed, some like listening to this person, that person. We can receive from one another the gifts that God's given each to bring about a doctrine. But don't let your doctrine take you to idle talk and arguing and causing division. And even wasting time. And I'm not saying we don't have those conversations. Don't get me wrong. So it's just a battle to go back and forth, because sometimes things are hard to talk about and you don't know what to talk about. So you just talk about something. It's safe if you keep your... Paul said, I'm going to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Right? You're safe. And so it's good, but it's important to know where it's coming from. And I've been privileged, I don't know how long, 17, 18 years, and some a little later, but it's been awesome to receive and see the Lord working through the body. Yeah, we have different people teach, but you receive just from the encouragement and seeing everyone's struggles and how the Lord sustains them. And you can get, you know what I'm saying? You can grab in more of Jesus as you see other people's faith entered in. But if I'm doubting all the time, wondering, well, what's their motives, all this other stuff, I'm not going to see the Lord working. I'm going to be questioning people's salvation all the time, and even my own. And there is no peace in it. Anybody struggle with their salvation for a while when they first gave their heart to the Lord? Or still? Yeah? Did you have peace? Yes, you did. You just didn't enjoy it. You had peace with God, you weren't enjoying it. And these are the things that, as we look and we pull from one another, it's a body. One body. And each of us have different gifts and each have different callings. I personally believe, and I'm wrong, and that is, anybody could come and share. But I think God has gifted people. And you just have to know where the Lord is. But He's called you to be a mother, a sister, a brother, a daughter, a son. And all these things are ways that we can minister to one another in different areas. Any thoughts? It just really struck me how important, and it's kind of, you know, you're running the race. Anybody going out witnessing with a certain person for a while? And then, like you kind of hang with them and see all the different things that are happening now? Okay. I've gone with Ken a lot. So it's kind of like you're being trained and then you're getting loosed and freed and then, you know, then you're back. I was just curious because this is what was happening, and Paul's seeing he's coming to the end of his road, and all he wants to do is say, I want to hand this off so you can run the race that was set before you. And Paul said, I want to run the race set before me. You run the race set before you. They're all the same in a sense, but they're going to work. You might be on different roads. Yes?
I think verse 8 and 9 is tremendous, and that's very instructive. It says, now we know that the law is good if one used it lawfully. And I think the next verse explains what that means, and that is that it says, understanding this, that the law was not laid down for the just, in other words, for us, but for the lawless. And so the use of the law there is really as a tutor
to bring
for those people who don't know Christ. And that's, the law is good to say, look, you know, you shouldn't be sexually immoral. You shouldn't be a liar, a perjurer, all those other things there.
Murderer.
And so the thoughts there are for those who don't know Christ, who are not justified by Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a great way, that's a great picture there. I also think, I think verse 5, I love how you've got three things there. You know, love is issued from a pure heart. So that's one who, you know, you're seeking purity. You're not, you know, you're not bogged down by much other garbage. Good conscience, and for me that means my conscience is not condemning me. There's not stuff I know I haven't dealt with.
Or an ulterior, mixed motive is doing the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I'm not being a hypocrite. And then a sincere faith, and that could also tie into being not a hypocrite. A sincere faith meaning, you know, what is faith? You know, a true belief in God, sincere, mm-hmm. true believer, truly seeking after Him and the life that He desires for us.
Yeah. I agree. It's not made for a righteous person. But yeah, don't get me wrong. We know that there's... let's just say this. It might not be for you, but if you don't follow the laws of the land, you'll find out that you're going to be corrected. Right? So there are there for that. But if we looking to the law to establish my relationship, I will always be condemned. But when I find grace and receive mercy, I'll have peace. Right? If I look in the mirror, I'm condemned. If I look in this word, I have peace. Right? If I look at my actions and try to judge... The Bible says that our heart's deceptively wicked, who can know it, that we don't even know that we're... I can't even sit there and say, why I'm teaching today is out of a pure heart. I don't know. I pray, you know, and a good conscience. So I just encourage, I just wanted to take a look at that, because I don't even know if I want to go through the whole book, because then we're going to be a lot of things we'll be talking about that you're going to ask me questions. Is that for today? Is that not for today? And I'm like, I don't know. I know what it means for me, but what brought me to that conclusion, I don't know the place to go. But I think if we just settle ourselves and understand, and you start as a child and remain a child. But I think if we look and we see, it's just, to me, it's a light that reflects saying thank you. That's all you can, that's what the Lord's looking for, right? This is the will that give, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, right? And so, it's just to look at the salvation and the grace and mercy He continues to drop in our laps and just respond out of thank you. And that's all He's looking for. He's not saying, I want you have to be right. He'll bring you to that point. Because He loves you. And He loves everyone. Like, He loves everyone around here. And Gary and Karen together. Chris and Karen together. He loves your wife more than you do. And vice versa. He loves them some more than you do. Right? Because, and through all that, He's just going to love each of you through it. And we have to trust the Lord that the Lord's working. When we start questioning each other's motives, there's no peace in relationships. There's strife and things. So I don't ask many to trust me, because I try not to. Trust the Lord with me. She has to pray a lot.
This is reminding me of when you talked to Bethlehem. I think it's 5 minutes. That verse that says, I have confidence in the Lord. And it always takes me back to that, because he hands over the baton to Timothy. He doesn't have confidence that Timothy could do everything he did.
Right.
He's just saying, you're a child too, and as the word I need, he will be too. And these are the important things. So I think it's a lesson we have to learn.
Mm-hmm.
We spend so much of our adult life trying to control your family, your kids, your people around you, just, you know, getting vent so that you can have confidence in them, which is ridiculous. You know, it's like you want people to have confidence in you, but this is like hands off. I have confidence in the Lord. I see where you're going. It's crazy today, and it looks like it's the world falling apart. But God's working in us.
Yeah, and
it's really hard sometimes.
And that was some of the things, even with when I was sharing the person that I hadn't seen for 20-some years calls me out of the blue, that backslid, did all these things, and they still look you up just to say, hey, I'm walking with, to let you know I'm walking with the Lord.
Yeah.
And so the Lord never gives up on anyone. He's not giving up on you and me. And His grace is sufficient, and it's constantly being, just respond and say thank you. And say, Lord, continue to reveal yourself. Help me, help my faith to grow that when I look out, help me see you and the people that I'm around. Help me to know that they're little Christs. And that makes me have to look for those issues, not for the other. Right? Because those things will grow and blossom and not dig them out. You know what I mean? You can't root out all the stuff. You just got to let things grow until you find out what it is. And then the Lord's still faithful to cut and trim and prune, slam, you know, build up, lift. Remember, He draws you with loving kindness. And it's His goodness that leads you to repentance. And so sometimes them paddles are so good you don't even recognize it. It's just a little, I think he almost laughed like, I can't believe he just slammed me. You know what I mean? Like, he was so good at how he corrected me. And that's why it's a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. And so, anyway, part of this, I will just add this. Paul brings this place, and I really do believe when he wrote in 15 and 16, it's a faithful saying, worthy all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I really truly believe he felt that way on the road to Damascus. And I really truly feel that he still sees him as a chief sinner, saved by the grace of God. And that his life is a pattern for the unsaved the world to see that God's grace is so much more than we could ever imagine that it could reach Paul. One who was going through killing Christians for believing in Jesus, thinking they were doing it for God. That's the grace it took to reach him. It's really the same grace it takes to reach us. But if, I know we don't like to say I'm the chief sinner, and sometimes we say it mockingly, but if we just see ourselves as such need of his grace and mercy to become a child of God, is really what he's saying, that I needed all of God's grace. I needed all of His mercy. I need all of His love just to make me a child. And I'm going to keep preaching that, and I'm going to keep teaching that and saying that, as Paul said, because I know it's true for all of us. And if we will live that and rest in that, know I'm a child, not because of anything I've done, but all of what Jesus has done, you will be a pattern for those who will inherit eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that this is your work. And you said you will build your church. And Lord, we ask that you build up your church. And it's not just this group of believers here, it's worldwide. That your light would shine through your believers so that the world might know you. All the grace that you have and mercy that you bestowed. Lord, help us just get greater glimpses of that and live lives responding out of love. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.